Well, greetings to everyone. Happy Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom, and Feliz Sabado. Let us offer up a prayer to Almighty Father Yahweh. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you thanks for this blessed Sabbath day. We can come once again and fellowship with one another and worship you in spirit and truth. We pray, Father Yahweh, for those that Brother Jim mentioned that are having problems with sicknesses or maybe recovering. We pray that you be with them and bring them back to, full recovery so they can also worship you and also help others witness, by the miracles that you've done. We thank you for these things when you heal us, Father Yahweh, whether spiritually or physically or emotionally or financially, whatever the case may be. We pray a prayer also for those around the world that are striving to keep your Sabbath day and to learn more about you and to get close to you. We pray that you be with them. And if anyone is traveling, we pray that you make them have safe travels. We thank you for being with us throughout the week. And we pray for mercy and forgiveness, for we stumble and we fall sometimes. We pray that you have that mercy, Father Yahweh, that you talk about, and that we may come back and repent and just make things right with you, so that we may be at peace. So all these things we ask, Father Yahweh, and we pray now that you bless your message and the hearing and also the fellowship. We ask you for all these things, and we thank you for all these things. In the name of your precious Son, Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'd like to greet everyone out there that's listening to us online. Anybody that may listen to us later on also. Before I start, I want to read this little piece here. It's something that I have in this book that teaches Hebrew how to read and write. It's called The Number 18 and the Word Chai. We know that saying, Lachaim, to life. There's a song that we sing like that, Lachaim. And it goes like this. It says, Rab Yudah used to say, 10 strong things have been created in the world. Rock is hard, but iron cleaves it. Iron is hard, but fire softens it. Fire is powerful, but water quenches it. Water is heavy, but clouds bear it. Clouds are thick, but wind scatters them. Wind is strong, but a body resists it. The body is strong, but fear crushes it. Fear is powerful, but wine banishes it. Wine is strong, but sleep works it off. Death is stronger than all, yet charity or love saves from death. And that's expounding on Proverbs 10:2. It talks about charity or love will save one from death. And we can also read about that in James. It says that in James and Peter, that love covers a multitude of sins. So, being that we have a love for Yahweh, we love his commandments, we love his laws, we love Yeshua the Messiah who he gave us. I wanted to talk about the Sabbath, and we had a question come up last week. And the question was, are there any exceptions to working on the Sabbath? And we discussed that a little bit. But I wanted to try to talk on it a little more. This is an interesting topic, and there's a song that we haven't sang in a long time, and it's called I Love the Sabbath, and that's a neat little song that we can also sing on the Sabbath. We love the Sabbath because we can rest, can relax, and even though it's cloudy outside, it's raining outside, the weather's a little nicer than it was last week. Even though we have the new patio there, we couldn't really enjoy it too much because it was so hot out there. We didn't want to stay out there too long. But the rain helps, and it actually cooled the day off, and the ACs are actually getting a rest. So that's good, especially for those that might have allergies. So I titled this Keeping the Sabbath Holy. And, some people always ask us, what can we do, what can't we do? I don't know if, I don't think I'll get it into that too much, because that's real technical. And actually, I remember talking to a friend of Mike Martin, and we started off telling him all the things that he couldn't do, and he just you know, he got discouraged. And so we said, we have to change our approach next time because there's a lot of things that you can do. And one brother was mentioning when I sent him an email on a happy Sabbath, I sent it to him in like three different languages. He was saying, you know, it's supposed to be a day of rest, but actually I do a lot of work on that day. But what he was talking about was a lot of spiritual work. And so that's a good thing that we do. Now, this message, I want to point out that it's not to criticize Christians because there's some Christians who keep Sabbath out there. So we have to say hallelujah for that because at least, you know, some of them do have some integrity and they're still learning. So I'd like to answer, you know, a couple of questions. But, you know, I also have one question that is in my mind. And as one brother put it before, you know, the weather might not be real nice outside, but the Sabbath is always nice. Even if it's freezing cold, it's still, for us, it's still a beautiful day because it's the day where we can shut out the world and concentrate on Yahweh, especially those that do a lot of running around during the week, taking care of family and business. So let's turn to John chapter 6. I have to turn to John chapter 6. Let me get everything situated here. In John chapter 6, we have Yeshua the Messiah. He's telling us that in verse 44 of John chapter 6, he says here, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of Elohim. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So there's only one way he's talking about here. Just like it says in the scriptures, there's only one baptism. There's only one faith. There's only one way, you know, that we can come to Yeshua the Messiah. The Father calls us. And so we have here also that we shall all know of Yahweh. We're going to be taught and we're going to learn. One thing that we're going to learn, it says here in the beginning of this chapter, you know, the Messiah was telling the people that he was a true bread that came down from heaven in verse 41. And the people were amazed that he was saying this because they knew him as a carpenter, a simple man, you know, the son of Joseph, the son of Miriam. But he's telling the people, you know, look, you know, I'm the promised Messiah. And he wasn't bragging, but he was telling them, you know, you can't come to me. You can't really know who I am unless the Father draws you. And then, you know, as you study, you get to know that the prophecies, you know, that were put in the Old Testament for us in the prophets, you get to know that he fulfilled them because there's only one person that could have done these things. So as you study the Old Testament, you study the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, basically the first five books, the prophets, and the writings, we come to know that he's Messiah. And Adam, Abraham, and Moses, among others, they knew Yeshua as Yahweh in the Old Testament. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 12. We read some of these scriptures last week at the Bible study. Over in Matthew chapter 12, it's a simple statement. You know, in the beginning of the chapter, it says there's Sabbath questions because the Pharisees were so strict in their keeping of Sabbath that you couldn't even pick grain on that day because they would consider it breaking Sabbath. But anyway, in verse 8, we see there that Yeshua says, "For the Son of Man is master of the Sabbath." And sometimes I looked at this scripture and I said, what does he really mean by he is the master of the Sabbath? When Genesis 2:3, it says, "Then Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which Elohim had created and made." So we see a connection there between Yahweh and Yahshua and, you know, the creation that was done on the Sabbath. And I think it was Elder Allen or someone that mentioned that even in resting, Yahweh created, you know, he created the Sabbath day you know. And so he gave that to us so that we can rest and we can learn more about him and study and worship. Let's read now over in Exodus. Let's go back to Exodus. A lot of these scriptures, I like to read them on Sabbath when I moderate, just to begin a service, kind of maybe remind someone who's maybe just tuning in for the first time, wondering, you know, why we keep the Sabbath, you know, how we keep it, where do we find the commands in the old and the new. Over in verses 16 and 17, it says there, so the sons of Israel shall observe, shall guard, shall keep the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath, or the Shabbat, or Sabbath, throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. It wasn't a sign just until Messiah came and died. It's a sign forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased and was refreshed. So whether Old or New Testament, we're speaking here of the seventh day Sabbath, not the sixth day or the first day. If we read our history books, we can see that because of Constantine and Mohammed, we have those who think they're keeping the Sabbath holy. But I ask myself, how can we say we are holy when we're keeping the wrong day? When Yahweh specifically says, on this day, every week you are to come before me and worship me and offer up sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Another question is, how can we say we are keeping the Sabbath if we're not doing it the right way? For instance, you know, a lot of people, they don't know that the Sabbath begins Friday night at sunset. That's another study in itself, where you go into the scriptures, you see that as one day ends, the other begins. Over in Leviticus, I'd like to read a couple of scriptures from chapter 18 and then over in 19. In Leviticus 18, in verses 2 through 5, it says there, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am Yahweh. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. So we have life. We're promised life if we do the things that Yahweh says. And what we want to key in on is that the Sabbath is special. The Sabbath is important, and not only the weekly Sabbath, but also annual Sabbaths. There's some who keep the Sabbath don't keep the annual Sabbaths. So hopefully, you know, Yahweh will open their eyes. They'll come to that understanding later on, just like when we first start out. A lot of things we don't know. Yahweh opens our understanding. We're humble. We come to him. We pray. And he gives us, just like a child, you can't give them solid food when they're so little. You know, you have to bring them along a little bit at a time. And so the same like we. Over now in Leviticus 19, verses 1-3, it says there, then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father. You shall keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So he throws a little mixture in there. If you see this, your mother and your father, you know, you see that the assembly is like the mother, you know, and Yahweh is the father, and then you have your earthly mother and your earthly father. But also see there, it says, you shall keep my Sabbaths. It's talking about, you know, the weekly Sabbath, talking about annual Sabbaths also. Yahweh says to worship him, rest, and not to work. So he's real clear on these. And later I want to read some scriptures from Nehemiah, because I spoke to some brothers who, one time, you know, I mentioned to them that, look, if we're getting on the bus and paying our fare, it's like we're doing commerce, we're doing business, we're paying a man to drive us here and there, you know. And us in the faith, we try to keep away from these things. Little story that I like to tell is when I first went to my first Bible study, apart from Elder Hector Castillo, the way he saw me as the way I was dressed, it was maybe like I was just going to go hang on the corner or something the way I was dressed. And so he was surprised to see me there. But I took a bus, I took the city train, I took the metro, then I took a taxi just to get to the Bible study. So I was doing a lot of business and a lot of running around, but I made it to the Bible study. And then it just so happens they were doing monthly Bible studies. The next Sabbath, where they were doing a meeting, by that time I had already got a car, so I didn't have to worry about all that running around. And actually I was able to pick some brothers up. But what they were doing is they wanted to meet me at a place to make it easy for me, so they were right on the train. And I thought, you know, it would be better me, I just go out of my way to pick you up and, you know, we can go to the study rather than you spend money, you know, just to make it easy on me. And when I brought up the scripture in Nehemiah, they said, you know, that's all you have. That's the only scripture you have. So, you know, this morning I was working on this and I thought to myself, you know, how can I find something in the Torah, in the first five books that maybe will help me on this? So right here in Leviticus 19:18, it tells us, you know, you shall not take vengeance nor bear grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to try to love my neighbor as myself. Right now, I go up to verse 13. It says, you shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you until morning. So I thought to myself, if you're a farmer, you're working for somebody, you're a servant, and you're working on Friday, just before sunset, the man has to pay you. Because it says that even your servants aren't supposed to rest on Sabbath. So if he pays you after work before sunset, you got that taken care of. You're not going to be doing any business on Sabbath because you're not going to be working. The man is going to be resting. And so that one, for me, kind of clinches it. But also, in Deuteronomy 24, it kind of repeats this because we want to try to find two witnesses, maybe three, you know, it's better. Deuteronomy 24:15, you shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he may not cry against you to Yahweh and it become sin in you. Just like maybe you work Monday through Friday, you get your check Friday before you leave work. You know, if you're working first shift, you know, you go and you run around and you do what you have to do and get back home before sunset. Similar situation. We don't get paid on a daily basis, a lot of us. Maybe if you work for a temporary agency, some of them, they pay daily. But this is the idea, not to be involved in business matters and such on the Sabbath day. This is part of keeping the Sabbath holy. This is the objective. This is the thing that we're trying to do here, you know. Like I said, last week we had a scripture study on whether there are any exceptions that would permit us to work on Sabbath. And not too long ago, I was searching for a topic. A supervisor asked me, could I work on Saturday? I mentioned to him no, and that I had already discussed this with human resources. So he was pleading with me. And then he says, you know, is this worship related? Is this have to do with your religion? I said, yes. You know, and it kind of got on my nerves because it's beginning to be like a weekly thing. You know, can you do it? Can you do it? Oh, I have people, but I have them for Friday or I have them for Sunday. I need somebody for Saturday. Well, I'm sorry, but I can't help you on that. You know, I mean, I already, that was first things first on the list when, you know, I went to apply for the job. And they said, speak it to your supervisor. You're okay on our end. So that's why I took the job, you know. But they're still going to try to engage you, try to soften you up, try to sweet talk you, you know. Just come in for a little while, no big deal, you know. We don't care about the Sabbath. We don't keep it. So, you know, I mean, you know, we're not worried about you. So, but this is a chance opportunity. If we go about it the right way, we can still be bold in our stance and not compromise you know, and it'll be a witness for them later on, you know, when they find out real truth, they'll say, oh, you know, that was right, you know, and then the way we go about it, because we can also be harsh too, you know, and that might hurt us in the long run. So, you know, this kind of iced it for me, you know, on what to talk about, because it was, you know, coming up every time, and then it came up last week at the Bible study, and I was hoping that we didn't get on it too much so that I could have something to share with the brothers. But, you know, I'll give the supervisor, his name is Mr. Davis, I will give him this. You know, they were having an appreciation for the employees once, and they were having pizza, and I told him I don't eat pork. They went ahead, they ordered beef pizza. So, you know, they do nice gestures, and, you know, they do look out for you on some ends. So we had to kind of just, you know, on the Sabbath issue, you know, we'll tell him where we stand. On other issues, you know, if they help us out, they do a nice gesture for us, you know, that also goes a long way. That's part of loving your neighbor, even though you don't know all that the scriptures say, maybe. Maybe you're not a studier of the scriptures. You can still have, you know, integrity and be nice about things. So that was a nice gesture. But seriously, you know, we have to get to the point where by the way we walk, people know that there's certain things we uphold. And even if we might fail sometimes, you know, for instance, no business on the Sabbath, we have to get to the point where the people already know, oh, okay, him, he doesn't work on Sabbath. Don't bother asking him, you know, he's not going to do it for you, you know. And also the way we conduct ourselves, you know, they know that even though we're not like the rest of the people, we still do our part and we help out. And we're not mean, we're not overbearing, you know, about what we do. You know, just do your business and stay out of trouble. So, anyway, this is not something new. You might have heard a message on this before. I know at Tabernacles, Elder Allen spoke on this once, and it was nice to hear it. I like to re-repeat some messages. You know, we can always learn something, even if you know a lot about a topic. Maybe something might stand out. You know, if we could just learn one thing, we learned a lot. You know, we're learning new things. Let's go over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and Nehemiah, they talk a little bit about Sabbath. And they actually get on the people's case. You know, the prophets, Yahweh uses them to correct the people. You know, let them know that they're not doing what is right. Even on Sabbath, they're carrying on like if it was a regular day. In Jeremiah 17, from verses 19 over down to 27, we can read here. The heading here says, the Sabbath must be kept. So it reads, thus Yahweh said to me, go and stand in the public gate through which the kings of Judah come in and go out, as well as in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, listen to the word of Yahweh, kings of Judah and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who come in through these gates. Thus says Yahweh, take heed for yourselves and do not carry any load on the Sabbath day or bring anything in through the gates of Jerusalem. You shall not bring a load out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but keep the Sabbath holy as I commanded your forefathers. Yet they did not listen nor incline their ears, but stiffened their necks in order not to listen or take correction. But it will come about, if you listen attentively to me, declares Yahweh, to bring no load in through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to keep the Sabbath day holy by doing no work on it. Then there will come in through the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city will be inhabited forever. They will come in from the cities of Judah and from the environs of Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, grain offerings, and incense, and bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving to the house of Yahweh. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying a load and coming in through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I shall kindle a fire in its gates, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem and not be quenched. And this is exactly what happened, because since Jeremiah, He was prophesying before Judah got taken into captivity and during. We see that that's exactly what happened. And then comes Nehemiah, and he had to kind of restore things a little bit as best as he could. So the prophet reminds us about the Sabbath, to keep it holy, to set it apart, to treat it as special. It's a special occasion. It's an occasion where we meet with the King of the universe and his son, who also will be king and is a priest, and who also will be the husband of the bride. That's like that song that we sing, soon and very soon we are going to see the king. And when he comes, he's not going to be real happy with some people. And, you know, we know these things because we read about them. And so those that know about the Sabbath and the feast days, we have a little bit of insight on the prophecies because we see the great things that happen, you know, during the feast days. And so this is another reason, you know, we want to know more about Yahweh. We want to know his mind, how he thinks, and the portion that he gives us. This helps us out. It actually helps us to be more obedient also, because I remember at first, before I started, you know, definitely keeping the Sabbath every time, I had a tough time. I'd picked the wrong day, you know. I'd only got one Sabbath a month to worship. Sometimes I'd get the wrong day, but after I got immersed, it just, like, the Red Sea opened up, and I was able to get all the Fridays and Saturdays off, you know, and for 6 months, this was awesome, because when you work in a hotel, you know, it's a lot of changing of schedules and things like that. So, and also, you know, they know that a lot of young people, they like to party on Fridays and Saturdays. So, you know, they sometimes they'll give these days to the older people, because they know that, you know, they're not into those things and they'll be there for work and things like that. So we do our best, you know, we'll do our best to answer. But it's up to those who ask us, you know, why do you keep the Sabbath, and why don't you do any work, and why don't you do any buying and selling? You know, it's up to those who ask us, you know, when we show forth the evidence, you know, it's up to those to weigh it, whether we're speaking the truth or not. But, you know, my question to those not trying to follow Yahweh, you know, what day, for instance, if you're a Christian, you know, what day did the Christians keep before Constantine came along and gave his commands to worship on Sunday and to keep Easter? They were keeping Sabbath also. If we read the historical records, they were keeping Sabbath, they was keeping Passover. They were not keeping Easter. They were not worshiping on Sunday. This wasn't the case. And actually, I would say so-called Christians, because there were those Jews that were into the Greek way of life. So if you see them as a messianic believer, you're going to call them a Christian, because that's a Greek word. That's not a Hebrew word. Otherwise, you'd call them messianics. And so this was to separate them, because you had some who believed in Messiah and some who didn't. So the messianics would be the ones that believed in Messiah. But basically, they were keeping the Sabbath, even though some people don't believe in Messiah. They might still keep the Sabbath. And that's what basically we're talking on. Let's go over now to go back to Book of Isaiah 58. This is one speaking to us about atonement, how we're supposed to fast on atonement, and what is a true definition of atonement, the Sabbath where you don't eat or drink. That's one of the hardest days of the year, one of the best days of the year, one day that actually helps the body purge the toxins. A couple of brothers, that's actually their favorite Sabbath of the year. And sometimes it gets real rough. Sometimes you can have a nice day where you fast and you feel real peaceful, no problems. But over in verse 13, it says, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your ways, from seeking your pleasure and speaking your own words, then you will take delight in Yahweh, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. You know, that word there, in speaking your own word, that's 1967, it's 1697 in the Hebrew. and it's the bar. We know that Yahshua is known as the bar, the word of Yahweh. That word there has a lot of meanings. I noticed that it could be business. It could be speaking any such thing. That's why it says there, and speaking your own word. When you look it up in the Hebrew, that's what it's saying, just conversating about whatever. You know, that's why some of us, we don't even answer our phone, because sometimes you get somebody that doesn't keep the Sabbath and they want to carry on a conversation about whatever, even about business, and that totally throws, you know, the mood that you have for that day. I remember telling an old boss, and I joke about it sometimes, he had left, I don't know, maybe 6-7 messages on my phone. And then when I replayed it for Brother Mike and Sister Nancy, I mean, the guy is almost crying to me, please answer the phone, you know, I want to talk to you. And all he wants to tell me is, can you come to work? And I told him many times, I can't work that day. I don't even want to talk about it. Call me after sunset. And then another time, here's how you can go about things. You can be nice about it, or you could do like I did once. Somebody called me. I says, don't ever call me again on Sabbath. And I was real harsh. And when I hung up the phone, I couldn't believe what I said, the way I said it, because it just, he caught me off guard. So, you know, you can go about it one way or the other. You know, not answer the phone, or you screen your calls. You know who's calling you. But this is part of keeping the Sabbath. You know, the conversation has to be different. You know, just like, I think, if you're at a wedding, you don't have the mentality like if you're in a funeral and the other way around. And so that's how it is on the Sabbath. The mentality's a lot different, especially since you're relaxing. You know, your mind, you know, is better at ease. So we look for spiritual meanings, you know, in Yahweh's scripture. You know, the Sabbath is a day of rejuvenation, getting away from the stress and hectic pace of the dealings in our everyday. And sometimes I think my life is hectic, and when I talk to somebody else, wow, it's almost like I'm sitting at home doing nothing compared to others, you know, the way they run around doing things, you know. As I mentioned before, one brother, he says he does much spiritual work on this day, and that's something that we want to do also. We want to do spiritual work. You know, it's even hard to be in constant communication with Yahweh during our week. Get so busy, sometimes so tired, you know, you just, you want to get home and take a shower, relax, go to sleep, you know. So we could just imagine what it's like to be a farmer working out in the field all day, especially in the hot sun, you know. Some here, they have work, they have family, and they have the ministry to take care of. That's not an easy thing. Just like Paul or Shaul, who was constantly busy on the go, yet when you read his letters, we see him reason on the Sabbath with Jews or Judeans and also with the Greeks. Do we ever see Paul or Shaul ever tell anyone to keep Sunday holy? I don't think so. If we twist his scriptures, then maybe. Is this what Shaul was told when he was met on the road to Damascus? He was told by Yahshua, why are you persecuting me? Shaul wasn't persecuting pagans, was he? No, he was persecuting those that practice Yahweh's ways, those that were in the truth. And you see that even though Shaul knew the law from a kid, he was still ignorant about the Messiah. He didn't believe in the Messiah. Up until that point, he got knocked down. And such is the case with a lot of people in our day and age. So we can see that those called by Yahweh and chosen by Yahshua, we keep only the commandments of Yahweh, but yet we respect the laws of the land as long as they don't cause us to sin against Yahweh. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. We'll read here about a custom that even the Messiah had. And when we mean custom, it's not just custom, okay, you know, I'll make this up and I'll do it every time. I mentioned once that if you keep the Sabbath, you're keeping it every week, it becomes a custom also. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and he, Yahshua, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And here we see that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. This was a custom. The people came to the synagogue, and there's portions of readings that you have for every Sabbath. That's something that I like to do. I have a list, you know, and you can do it Friday night. You can do it Saturday morning, you know, and it kind of helps you, especially if you don't get around to reading scriptures. But this was a custom here. We see that Shaul had the same custom. A lot of the Jews had this same custom. And so this is what he did. He got up to read. He was teaching the people. And this is what we do. We get up here, give messages, we sing songs, you know, and it's a custom. It's become a custom for us. And it's a good custom. You know, Yahweh's laws, if you look at some of the words, you know, a law can become a custom. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's when we make our own customs to justify not keeping Yahweh's laws. That's when you know, the master, that's when he gets upset like he did with the Pharisees. You know that it was Yahshua's custom to go to the synagogue on Sabbath, and if he was here now, he would still gather with believers of him on Sabbath, not any other day. He would still be keeping Yahweh's feast days. He's going to do this in the kingdom. He's going to be the high priest. How could he be keeping anything other than that? So when we look at this, we can't say, let's keep the Sabbath before Messiah comes. Let's keep Sunday after he leaves, when actually he's still alive. He's up in heaven right now. And then when he comes back, then we'll keep Sabbath again. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. Because if it's talking about keeping the Sabbath in the kingdom, matter of fact, keeping the new moons in the kingdom, why not keep them now so that we know what we have to do when Yahshua comes? When he comes and he tells us, okay, you're going to do such and such, you have an idea. If you're going to declare to the people, you're going to sanctify a new moon, you have an idea. You don't ask, oh, what's a new moon? You know? Let's go over to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he was a restorer. Call him a restorer. He cared about true worship, and he had to deal with the situation in Jerusalem where we just read in Jeremiah. Yahweh was telling the people, look, you're carrying on Sabbath. You're not keeping the day holy. You know, the people, they also had to do their part in order to make things work. You know, that's just like us. We make adjustments in the way we live to mold our lives into the image and maturity of Yahshua the Messiah. And so we're going to see similar scriptures here in Nehemiah. We saw them in Jeremiah. And actually, you know, that name, Nehemiah, Nehemiah, Yahweh comforts. Yahweh had to comfort this man because he was dealing with a lot of wayward people, you know. So let's go over to chapter 10. In chapter 10, we'll read verse 31. Then we'll go over to chapter 13. And it reads here, as for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day. Speaking about the high days also, the high Sabbath. And we will forego the crops the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. So not only the Sabbath or the holy days, even the sabbatical year also he's talking about. Because it was because of the sabbaticals that they got in trouble in the first place, that they had to go into captivity. So let's go over now to chapter 13. You know, the people, they even forgot the third tithe for the poor, the Levites, and the widows. The Levites had to go and work their lands. You know, we were told in the Torah, in the first five books, learn not the ways of the heathen. The world does whatever on Sabbath, and they even do their dirtiest chores on Sabbath. And those who don't know about the Sabbath, they're also, like I said before, they're unaware it begins at sundown. You know, what we know as Friday, that's when the Sabbath begins. And extra comment there, if nobody ever studied, even the names of the week are pagan. So let's go to Nehemiah 13. We'll start in verse 15. It says, "In those days I saw in Judah some who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sacks of grain and loading them on donkeys, as well as wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads. And they brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I admonished them on the day they sold food. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do the same, so that our Elohim brought on us and on this day all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath.' And it came about, just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load should enter on the Sabbath day. Once or twice the traders and merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem. Then I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you.' From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. For this also remember me, O my Elohim, have compassion on me according to the greatness of thy loving kindness." So we're here, we're reminding people about the Sabbath, what it means to us, how to keep it holy, how not to keep it holy. We have examples here. We have examples in Jeremiah. Then we have examples in the New Testament of going overboard and adding things to the Sabbath. And then the master of the Sabbath had to come and explain to the people, look, you're not doing it the right way. You know, he wants judgment and mercy and faith, but that's not what he's getting. He's getting a bunch of man-made commandments from the teachers of the law. So he has to teach the people over and over again. Over in Mark 2:27, Yeshua says there that the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. So some people, they don't even know that the Sabbath is a weekly feast. When we read Leviticus 23, we see that it's the first one on the list. It's a festival, a weekly festival. So why don't the people know this? Because they haven't been taught. And then if they're taught, they're not convicted. Or better yet, they prefer to keep man's tradition. But look at, let's go over into John. Sometimes the question comes up about Christians. Well, you know, yeah, they believe in the Messiah, but they don't call him by his Hebrew name. Okay. And some might ask, you know, who are they worshiping if they're worshiping on the wrong day? Over in John chapter 4, Yeshua here, he's talking to a woman at the well. We know that wasn't even a custom for the Jews to talk to women like this, especially a Samaritan. Yeshua in verse 21, John chapter 4, he says, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know. For salvation is from the Jews." So think about it. If you're calling him by a Greek name, yet he himself is saying salvation is from the Jews, from the Yahudim, those that worship Yahweh. So if you worship Yahweh, you're a Yahudi. That's what it's called. And that's in the Hebrew, Numbers 30:63 and Numbers 30:64. But look at here. You know that the Samaritans, you know, the Israelites were there. They got sent up to Assyria. They brought in some people there. They started doing their own thing. I think it's in 1 Kings 17. The people were worshiping Yahweh, but yet they were still worshiping their idols. So they brought in Levites to teach them how to do the right thing. So the Jews are mad at the Samaritans because they know them as half-breeds. And they have their own Torah. And so they're thinking they're worshiping Yahweh, but what does the master say here? He says, "You worship that which you do not know." You don't know what you're worshiping. So if you don't know what you're worshiping, you're not worshiping Yahweh. So that's what the master says here. So he tells her, you know, learn from me. And so he He says here, but an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's our aim. That's what we're here to do. Let's go over to Luke chapter 14, because we had a situation earlier, and the question is, what about the ox in the ditch? What about it? Brother Landis locked his keys in his car. What were we going to do? Were we going to call somebody, or we just went over to your house? We had enough time to get your keys. If it was in a different situation where you couldn't get to them, you might have had to do that. I mean, you know, your lights were on, your battery could have went dead. Maybe you were stuck somewhere. You had your wife and your kids there. You know, you need to get into your car. So do we consider this an ox in the ditch? Anyway, in Luke 14, verses 1 through 6, Yahshua explains to us a concept, the idea, the intent of the heart. On the way to Sabbath, yeah, we may encounter a situation which needs attention. Right then and there, Yahweh knows our heart. He may or may not be behind the situation. If it's for good, he's always behind it. If it's for evil, then it's the adversary trying to accuse us of breaking Sabbath. That's a favorite thing of the evil one, to accuse us. So here we are, Luke 14. I'll read verses 1 through 6. It talks about Yahshua healing on the Sabbath. It says, and when it came about when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, that they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a certain man suffering from dropsy. And Yahshua answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they kept silent, and he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which one of you shall have a donkey or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they can make no reply to this, as was the case. When Yahshua put it to them, they couldn't reply because they knew that he was speaking the truth. Interesting thing there. Yahshua's in the house of a Pharisee and on the Sabbath. You know, we criticize the Pharisees and the Sadducees a lot, but right there he's in a Pharisee's house. And we know that Shaul was a Pharisee also. So there were some good Pharisees out there. He was against the hypocrites that were laying extra burdens on the people. So the scripture says to get the ox out of the ditch, help a person in need of immediate attention. For instance, a dying person, or get someone trained in the field to help him. You know, those who get paid or volunteer to risk their lives for others, even on Sabbath, as we read in the Psalm, Yahweh knows their hearts. But for Yahweh's people, this would be considered servile work, for us to sit there and get paid to do a work that somebody else can do. They don't keep the Sabbath. So they're there. They're doing that. We don't agree with that. But they don't know. So in a sense, they're in ignorance. Yahweh is not going to penalize them for their ignorance. Maybe in the kingdom, they'll get a chance. They'll know. But anyway, let's not look for ways to break the Sabbath and then justify it. That's the thing that we're trying to get at. You know, the scripture says to help your enemy if his ox is in the ditch in Exodus 23:5. But like we say here, don't push it in, you know? And also it says not to muzzle the ox that threshes. That's in Deuteronomy 25:4. And Shaul quoted this verse when he applied it to ministers preaching truth. Maybe there's somebody preaching Yahweh and Yahshua somewhere else. Like Yahshua said, if they're not against us, then they're with us. So why are we going to go and stop them from preaching? But you know, we have in our day and age, we're hated for Yahshua's name. Therefore, if we have a situation where we need help, let's say we're being overbearing to some people. Situation comes up on you on the Sabbath, you need help. They might not help you when they could have helped you. Or it might be a family member, somebody you know. They may not help you. Or then again, we have those people, they try to muzzle the ox. How they do that? They try to stop us from preaching on the Sabbath or about the Sabbath. So that's why we have to try to do good not only on the Sabbath, but as much as possible, we have to try to be at peace with all men. If you're still there in Luke 13, or actually Luke 13, verses 10 to 17, here's another situation of Yeshua healing on the Sabbath. That's interesting. They have two situations that are real close to each other. And here's another explanation from verses 10 to 17. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. There we go again. Yeshua teaching on the Sabbath, not any other day. True, he was in Jerusalem on the feast days, but as far as the weekly cycle, he was always in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. She was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Yeshua saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying Yahweh. Now here's a Pharisee. And the synagogue official, indignant because Yeshua had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, "There are six ways in which work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." So he's being strict. See, he's not been tormented for 18 years. If Yeshua comes and heals you on the Sabbath, you're going to glorify Yahweh. You're not going to sit there and say, "Oh, man, let's wait for another day. It's okay." 18 years, that's a long time. It's a long time. Some kids don't even live 18 years. Matter of fact, some kids don't even live a couple of months the way they do things here when they allow abortion. But that's another story. So anyway, the master here, it says in verse 15, "But the master answered him and said, 'You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she have not been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?' And as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him." He didn't do this. He didn't say, "Well, okay, today's the Sabbath. I'm going to go out and I'm going to heal a whole bunch of people so that everybody can come to me." You know, he's not doing it for showing off. It just so happens that the situation came up. You know, the situation presented itself. And then it ends for a witness and Yahweh and Yahshua's glory. When they do these things, they could do this any day of the week. Yeshua could do this any day of the week. You know, he doesn't have to do it on Sabbath. And so, you know, that's why the man here was upset. But this wasn't done for Yeshua's glory to just gather people to him. This was done to release the woman. You know, there's things that are done on Sabbath that are done to glorify Yahweh. And maybe somebody who doesn't know, they might even say, "Oh, see, look what you're doing. This is like any other day." They might accuse us because they don't know about certain things that we do on Sabbath. So, you know, as we're here keeping the Sabbath, some might say, "Oh, you guys are so strict, you know." They introduced me to this man this week, and they told me, "Oh, this guy's mighty in the scriptures. He's real good. You got to meet him." I said, "Really? Okay, I want to meet this guy, you know." When they talk like this, I'm ready. You know, I want to know. Maybe I can learn something from this man, you know. So what's the first thing he tells me? Jesus Christ did everything for you. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to keep the Sabbath or the feast days. So we're going back and forth. I said, "But wait a minute. Shaul talked to us after the Messiah was resurrected. And then he's telling us in 1 Corinthians 5, keep the feast without malice and wickedness." This is after Yeshua was gone, after he went up to the heavens. So why is he doing this? This is the apostle. The apostle was set up by Yeshua the Messiah. He was sent to, you know, spread the word and start up assemblies. And matter of fact, teach the elders and the deacons, you know, how they're supposed to be in conduct and such and such. He's even telling the people, "Look, you got a man here. You're proud. He's committing sin. Kick him out. You know, let him repent, then he can come back." But he's telling us, keep the feast. We look all through Acts. Shaul is there, Sabbath after Sabbath, reasoning with the people, reasoning with the Jews, reasoning with the Greeks. as the scripture says. So how can you tell us that, you know, these things are not important to us, you know? I was pretty excited at first, but then when I heard that, I said, oh boy, you know, I have to approach this in a certain way. He still might be able to help me out in some things, and then I will share some scriptures with him. Maybe we can sit down, have a Bible study, have a peaceful Bible study. Maybe he might still be set in his ways, but you know what? Yahweh knows his heart. Maybe he's still a good person. So what can I say? I can't criticize him, but I can say for sure that if he's telling me the Sabbath or the feast days are not important, I can go in, I can study for myself, and I can prove that these days are important to us, and that's why we keep them. That's why we see them as special. How many of us don't get excited when it's time for the feast? Especially when we take off and we don't have to work, we don't have to see certain people, you know? On Sabbath, for me, it's awesome because I don't have to hear constant cursing like when I'm at work. I don't have to hear that. You know, that kind of hurts the spirit or the attitude of, well, I'm here, but I don't want to be here, you know? I mean, and that kind of rubs off sometimes. You have to say, oh, I'll see you later. I got to go. I got business. So we won't find Yahweh's people ever worshiping on Sunday in the scriptures, even after Messiah's resurrection. Now, true, some of Yahweh's festivals just happen to fall on a Sunday. Of course, if you had a week, you know, stretched out, one of those days is going to be a Sunday. But it's not a day where, in Leviticus 23 says, you shall keep the Sunday holy. You never even find the word Sunday in the scriptures. And it's interesting to me that the people know that the first day of the week is Sunday, but they don't put two and two together, you know, when it's talking about the resurrection. But then again, there's a lot of things I don't know yet, so I have to get there first. So when the people took it upon themselves to conduct business on Sabbath or neglect the sabbaticals, you know, they suffered and they were rebuked. And the same thing will happen to us. Go ahead and break Sabbath and see what happens to you. You know, I wonder sometimes if a punishment comes upon you for sinning, right? So when I was first learning about the Sabbath, they invited me to a get-together. I didn't think anything of it. So it's Friday night. I went. I bought some beer. We're getting together, you know. Everything is fine. Okay, so then I get home. I eat some food. Then I'm sick for 3 days. So I think to myself, I wonder if it's because I went. I was doing business on Sabbath. I wasn't worshiping Yahweh on Sabbath. I was breaking Sabbath. I can't justify what I did, right? So I was sick for 3 days. I was out of work. I lost money. So who does that hurt? That hurts me. Why? Because I hurt Yahweh and Yahshua. Because I said I was going to keep the law when I got immersed. That's what I said. I agreed to it. But then I went and I broke it. And this is, sometimes it happens when you're first beginning. You don't know some things. You get caught up. But then, you know what? You have to suffer. You have to pay for that. But you can repent. So in closing, I like to say that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek Yahweh's face and turn from our wicked ways, then Yahweh will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sin and he'll heal our land. And for a closing scripture, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 10. It's only fitting that we finish with the Apostle Shaul. You know, you read Shaul's words and you heard messages about how some say that he did away with the law. The only thing I see Shaul doing, he shows so much love and he's here setting up assemblies. You know, he cares for the people like if they were his own children. And he's doing so much work. I mean, the man is he should be tired from his work, you know, all the work he did. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 10, I'd like to read 11 through 14. Here, the Apostle Paul Shaul is saying, now these things happen to them as an example. He's talking about Israel, the things that happened to them in the wilderness, and also all the other things when they came into the land. Matter of fact, we can include when they went into captivity, all those things. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. One thing that we see a lot of on Sabbath is idolatry. What I'm going to do, I'm going to have a lot of fun on Sabbath, not where I'm going to go to worship Yahweh. That's not what you hear. You don't hear that. So we see the things that happen to Israel. We've seen the things that happen to us sometimes. If we know about the Sabbath and then we break it, continue to break it, we see that, you know, we have to be corrected. So also when we're instructed, when your parents teach you instruction on how to do things, they don't teach you these things so that you can forget about them. I mean, when they teach you don't do this, don't do that, it's for the benefit. It's not for you to forget it. And so that's why the scripture says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't forget about it. Keep it holy. So may Yahweh's peace be with us, and hallelujah.